This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hanson.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, a New Year's Eve edition. I am John Hanson of FantasyPoints.com, the program per usual being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and kind of a jam-packed program here midweek. Try and get through one more Wednesday in 2025. Unfortunately, there will be more Wednesdays in 2026, but what are you going to do? We'll take a look here at the news trickling down ahead of week 18 here on a Wednesday, usually the first day of the practice week. We also have five New Year's resolutions that I will be trying to keep in 2026 based on basically the failures of 2025, always trying to look to get better and make adjustments. Last year, the big adjustment was November, and that worked out well. So how about we get a little bit better next year? That would be nice. We'll also take a look at notable wide receiver corner matchups per usual on a Wednesday. Do have a couple of interesting guys here. For one, Mr. Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm already eyeballing an over, and that puppy is already in triple digits. And I don't care, quite frankly, because I've looked at the schematics of it all, and it looks pretty good. Speaking of schematics and data, Brent Whitefield of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data, formerly of PFF, Mr. Football, Mr. Data, Mr. Analytics, quite frankly, he's got all the bases covered. He's going to pop out some of the choice matchups that he's looking at. I think we're going to focus on the Saturday games, by the way, and that'll be good because those are the next two games forthcoming. It's like the playoffs basically kick off on Saturday with the Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then we've got the Seattle Seahawks for all the marbles in the NFC West in San Fran to take on the Niners. We'll also take a look at all the spreads and try and get a feel for what they mean. I did take a lot of time going through the very early schematics in terms of, you know, this is a good schematic matchup for this quarterback or that receiver in each game to try and come up with some insight into the numbers here. There's a couple of them where I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going under, quite frankly. So we'll get into that as well. The program brought to you by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into cash fast. Download Better at better.app. Sign up today, you get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And of course, make sure you're getting your Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. And the show does continue here on VSiN. I haven't watched a full NBA basketball game in 28 years, so it's not going to be me talking hoops, props, and all that, but we will be continuing the program per usual, just like we did last year. Well, without any further ado, let's take a look at some of the Nuggets news and notes coming down the line here. Jets head coach Aaron Glenn told reporters today that Brady Cook will start against the Bills in week 18. Spoiler alert, I've already looked at the schematics. It is a craptastic schematic matchup for Brady Cook. So we're not going to be in on any Jet props here. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn told reporters today that Marcus Mariota is doubtful for week 18 against the Eagles, which is a shame because it's unbelievable. You know, when we have our quarterback coverage tool, what it does is it takes a look at all the coverages that the Philadelphia Eagles are running, basically. And I usually only go back 4 or 5 weeks. So it takes all the shells that Philly runs, compares Mariota's numbers against each of those shells to come up with a schematic matchup. And boy, it popped. But of course, per the career of Marcus Mariota, no offense, but let's be honest here, it's been a little underwhelming, and we're going to end the season on a whimper with Josh Johnson starting for DC. And he wasn't that bad last week, quite frankly. Feels like Josh Johnson's been in the NFL since the 90s. But close, because my man's pushing 40. He's a grown man. He's 40. Moving on here, Packer head coach Matt LaFleur told reporters that Malik Willis, dealing with that shoulder still, will be limited, as will Jordan Love. But I'm hoping that we just give the start to Malik Willis, because talking about matchups and schematic matchups that pop, unbelievable for Malik Willis. Like, I can almost guarantee if he plays the whole game that he'll go over his passing prop, because the schematics are too darn good. So we shall see about that, as well as we'll see about Bears wide receiver Luther Burden. Ben Johnson told reporters today that he is hopeful that Burden with a quad can play against Detroit. We presume that they are going to be putting their best foot forward with something to game in the game. And of course, they could, in theory, still come away with that number one seed, right? Bears GM John Lynch told reporters that Christian McCaffrey is trending toward playing. That's good. Obviously, it's a massive game in week 18 against Seattle. Marvin Harrison, what a buzzkill. Ruled out, he's not going to play, which really begs the question, are you going to consider drafting Marvin Harrison next year? Maybe if his ADP drops to infinity, but it's unbelievable. This guy's first 2 years, not really close to his father's. And I was in the business when his father came out. I actually loved Marvin Harrison. I ranked him over Keyshawn Johnson, who was the number one pick of the draft that year. I'm like, no, I don't like, I'm not a Keyshawn guy. Guy's slow as molasses. I think I can beat him in a foot race. So I was all about Marvin Harrison, watched him very closely. I mean, it's not even close. By this time of the career, Marvin Harrison was absolutely bawling with Peyton Manning, and he was available, and he was handling the physicality of the NFL. Colts head coach Shane Steichen told reporters that quarterback Riley Leonard will start week 18, as we expected. 49ers GM John Lynch said that he'd be very surprised if George Kittle did not play, which is good. And I think we're pretty much caught up on everything coming down. So let's take a couple of minutes here in this first segment. I thought kind of long and hard about, you know, the mistakes made here. We're always going to make mistakes. I mean, it's impossible. It's a very difficult year. So many nuanced factors. There's so many nuances to every single play. And every single dynamic has its own set of nuances related to it. So it can be very difficult. But a little bit more generally, let's count up from five. I came up with five New Year's resolutions. Number one, I'm going to place a higher emphasis on offense coordinators and play callers. Not that I'm not doing this already, but, you know, I lost too many Saquon Barkley props, for example, and Kevin Petulu is, well, he's not any good. And that's the problem. Now, some of these were somewhat unavoidable, but not last week. That was not unavoidable. I did not have to do that. Even though everything lined up, they were winning the whole game. The Bills were a terrible run defense, all that. It still did not happen. You know, moving on here, Arthur Smith, he just loves getting everybody involved now, does he? Doesn't he? And he's not even that good, by the way. On the flip side, Ben Johnson. I didn't go in on enough Bear props, quite frankly. Ben Johnson was good. He turned out to be great for Caleb Williams. Number four, I'm avoiding receiving props for super spreader offenses. I need a small target tree, if you will, like Philadelphia. Unfortunately, we've got other issues here. You know, on one hand, oh yeah, Philadelphia, great. They only throw to three guys. Wonderful. Well, the quarterback isn't very good and the offensive coordinator isn't very good. But generally speaking, these super spreader offenses are just bad news. Avoid them. Denver, I mean, come on, Sean Payton. Buffalo, you know, another little lesson here is if you don't have a number one wide receiver, then you got nothing. Then you're week to week, and you're completely unpredictable, like the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City, super spreader offense. Obviously, Rashee Rice got it done when he was in there. Green Bay, I mean, Christian Watson's been a revelation, but it's been a nightmare for the most part. Pittsburgh, New England. Now, maybe not as much New England when your quarterback is good and the offense is good. Like, so that's it. I'm not doing a super spreader offense unless I absolutely have to on a nationally televised game, unless the quarterback of the offense is good. Number three, I will not play a running back over rushing prop unless the team offense is very stable. Too many Barkley losses. Again, I had a bunch of Henry losses. They were not stable this year. And then, of course, frickin' Ashton Jeanty last week. Not going to do it next year. Number two, I will not play someone who was on the injury report, period. Javonte Williams got in a limited practice, was removed from the injury report last week. He had that neck thing. But what happened? He got aggravated. I mean, the dude was going to crush the prop, but he got hurt. Again, he aggravated it. So I know it's going to really minimize the pool, but how about that? Don't play anyone on the injury report, or if you do, go with an under. And that is the number one lesson. I will play more unders. As we know, you know, we've discussed Novunder was a smashing success. I think we're like 26-6 or something like that, 25-6 on unders. Too many super spreader offenses out there. Too many poor quarterbacks. Too many players stink in bad weather. Defenses are too far ahead of the offenses lately, last couple of years and early in the season, and the lines are too good. So that is numero uno in terms of a New Year's resolution. I got to find a way to play more unders. And on the other side, we will find a way to pop out and isolate the best five wide receiver corner matchups for week 18, along with the worst five for the finale that is coming up on the other side, with Brent Whitefield following here on a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And when your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has actioned every day of the year. NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. So there's always a lineup to build and always a chance to win. Getting started is easy. Go to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSiN to claim your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Better Picks. If you know sports, it's time to prove it. And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of Fantasy Points. Fantasy Points Data has the excellent wide receiver corner matchup tool, has a lot of data. It's one of the most valuable tools you'll find on the interwebs. It is also available via a cooperation between Fantasy Points and VSiN on VSiN's website for the VSiN Pro subscribers. All the data, it has target percentages for the wideouts, targeted percentages for the DBs and all that. But before we get to that, one final point on the last segment, I just did want to pop out a quote from the VSiN betting guide that I did. We were talking about offensive play callers, how important they are. And not that I did not know this, obviously. Here's a quote from the July issue of the VSiN betting guide in a paragraph that I wrote about Drake May. I took the over on Drake May. It was like 3,200 passing yards. And here's what I wrote, quote, I don't think the markets are positive enough about the addition of OC Josh McDaniels to go along with the leadership of new head coach Mike Vrabel. So I just wanted to pop that out there. Very, very important. Sometimes you have a really good quarterback in a sucky offense with a crappy coordinator, and he looks like he stinks. So there's that. But let's get into the segment here, the task at hand, the best and worst wide receiver corner matchups here for week 18. We start with the good, and we will start with Parker Washington up against Hall. I'm not even familiar with this player, quite frankly. He's a backup type of guy. Come on, Hall. All I know is he's given up 0.50 fantasy points per route run, which is the worst in all of the league over the last, let's say, 5 weeks. Parker Washington has been balling out. There's no doubt about it. And he commands the ball, basically. Titans have been a pass funnel as well. They're a very good run defense thanks to Tavondre Sweat. My nickname for him is Three Guys, not Five Guys, Three Guys, because he's like three guys. And then also Jeffrey Simmons. So they're tough to run on. So we would assume we're going to be putting our best foot forward. They're playing the same time as Houston. So another good matchup here for Parker Washington. I don't know why, but I always have the inclination to go Parker Washington Jr. But no, he's just Parker Washington. I believe that's an 80s reference. But George Pickens comes up next here. We lost that prop last week by 1 yard. We're not going to begrudge him, though. We're going to look at Deontay Banks. He had a kick return for a touchdown last week, but he's still beatable. They do play man. He gives up 0.35 fantasy points per route run. The schematic matchup popped more for George. This is last chance saloon, too, for George, who is he's got four quarters of football left on his contract. So last chance to impress, whether that be the Cowboys or anybody else in the NFL. I got to give a shout out, though, to Brian Schottenheimer. You know, we all know about his father, Marty. Rest in peace to Marty. Great guy. Not that I knew him well, but I actually did have interactions with him. Very, very nice man. Very respectful. I did some radio spots with him. But Brian Schottenheimer's son, unlike his father, you know, I mean, I did a radio show with LaDainian Tomlinson for a year one time, and he loves Marty like a father. Why wouldn't he? Because he handed the ball off 40 times a game. But Brian's pretty good. He's modern. He's progressive. He's kind of a embraced analytics. So I think Dallas got a pretty good one there in Brian Schottenheimer. Seems like a pretty good players coach as well. So maybe he can, you know, talk to George and remind him that this is his last game potentially as a Cowboy before his it's definitely his last game as a Cowboy before the contract expires. Jamar Chase comes up next. In case you haven't seen, he's good. He's going to see a lot of Tyson Campbell in this game. Pretty good schematic matchup for Joe Burrow. Campbell, very, very beatable, giving up 0.31 fantasy points per route run. Joey B will probably be out there slinging it, as will Jared Goff. Jared Goff in the first matchup. I have this for the next segment, the final segment. He lit him up for 334 and five tutties. Seems like a lifetime ago, but that was back in week two. And I didn't even look, but I'm sure Amon-Ra was a big part of that. He will see a lot of former teammate CJ Gardner-Johnson, who is very giving. And then we also have Jackson Smith and Jigba. That is really good matchup. Really, really, really good. If the Rams lose, it will almost certainly be because Jackson Smith and Jigba got it done again up against Renardo Green, who's given up 0.28 fantasy points per route run. Now let's take a look at the bad ones, negatives. We are projecting shadow coverage on Nico Collins by Mr. Sauce Gardner, and he's given up 0.28 fantasy points per route run, which is not shut downy, but I don't trust CJ Stroud. And if there's a problematic matchup, I can see them kind of going to get away from him. You know, you've got Dalton Schultz, you've got Jaden Higgins, scored that bomb touchdown last week. Christian Kirk is lingering. I have a gut feeling that Christian Kirk, by the way, is going to be a factor in the playoffs. Next up, Alec Pierce. We love Alec Pierce. like a son. He is a free agent as well. Last chance for him to show off, but can't believe he's a free agent. Kamari Lassiter is the matchup, and that's bad because it's Riley Leonard, and Lassiter does not give up any separation, so he'll be all over Alec Pierce in this game. Terry McLaurin, we're going to have to deal with Josh Johnson, so it will probably be more of a Deebo Samuel game. I actually won a Deebo prop last week that I popped on the website after we signed off on the last show, I guess, before the game. I'm like, you know what? I do like Deebo, and it hit. But Terry McLaurin is going to see a lot of Quinyon Mitchell on the outside, of course, the boundary corner. That's where he resides, and he's still great, giving up 0.18 fantasy points per route run. Of course, we also have Josh Johnson there. Quentin Johnston, Mr. Unreliable, all over the place, Mr. GEP. GEP stands for Goose Egg Potential, and it is quite high this week. He's a little boom or bust, I'd say, but the GEP this week is much higher up against Pat Surtain, who's given up just 0.16 fantasy points per route run. And of course, we're dealing with Trey Lance. There was a time I thought Trey Lance was going to be very good, just like the Niners, but it hasn't happened. It's not over. I also did mention like 2 years ago, I'd pick him up in a dynasty league where you're keeping a bunch of players. You never know. He's very physically talented, but obviously it's not happening. You know, it's up in the noggin. The processing is not very good. I call it invisible scouting. Unless you're really tuning into the tape, it can be difficult to know whether or not a guy can process very well or not. But yeah, Trey Lance not processing all that well. And then last but not least, this is a little scary here. Juwan Jennings. We lost a prop last week. He will see a lot of Reek Woolen, who's been just outstanding on that right side of the defense, left side of the offense. He has given up 0.16 fantasy points per round. I have not seen Reek Woolen give up a play, quite frankly, all year. Maybe our guy Brett Whitefield has on the other side, but he's watching every single play. I'm watching 75% of them. He's been awesome. Well, Brett Whitefield, he's been awesome all year. He'll join us on the other side to see what he has cooking, what pops to him for week 18. But first, start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from the college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll get our college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert brackets and more. Start the new year off with an edge. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That is vsin.com/subscribe. Brett Whitefield of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data to see what he has cooking and what's popping to him for week 18 next year on Pop Points.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com, and from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our guy, on a Wednesday, Brett Whitefield, COO of Fantasy Points on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. What is up, Brett? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Excited to be here, man.
Yeah, let's get into it because basically the playoffs kind of kick off this weekend. So let's focus on the two standalone games Saturday, basically playoffs, and the Sunday night game, Pittsburgh and Baltimore playoffs. Let's start with Panthers at Bucks. Not to throw you off, but I know you're watching every game. You have a very critical eye. How is Baker Mayfield generally playing the last couple of weeks? Let's start there.
Yeah, it's not been good, John. I mean, in a lot of people are citing the shoulder injury since that moment. You know, he hasn't been good. I think it extends beyond that. You actually look at the way they started the season, even on that little hot streak they were on, they were playing with some serious fire. It was high variance football where living and dying by these contested catches or these crazy scramble. Remember, you had that 24-yard scramble to move the chains at the end of a game and all these one score. So, so really, you put the season in context. It's like, yeah, I guess this has kind of been what it's been all year, and they're just not winning games now. So I think they've lost 8 of their last 10 or something crazy. So not great. But yeah, he's definitely regressed a little bit. He was much better last year.
I was joking. Not that most people get this reference, but there's a huge chain down here in the South called Buc-ee's. Big gas station. They sell all kinds of food. People love it. Like, you go in there like 7:30 in the morning, it's packed. And I was like, Buc-ee's is closed. Buc-ee's is out of gas. And that's been Buc-ee Irvin. So that's one element. You know, losing Liam Cohen, I think, has hurt their running game and their O-line play. And, you know, they could use Buc-ee, though, for this game and beyond. So what do you see there with Buc-ee Irvin?
Yeah, it's just the Panthers' run defense has really regressed. I know they started hot. We felt really good about some of their offseason acquisitions, whether it was Tershawn Wharton, Derek Brown getting healthy, but they've really regressed. So, like, their last five games, 4.91 yards per carry allowed, 140 rushing yards a game allowed, six touchdowns over that span as well, explosive run rate of over 8%. So they're getting gashed on the ground again. This looks a lot like the team we saw last year. And Tampa Bay, with the way Baker's playing right now, they're going to have to rely on the run game. And I know for fantasy football, Buc-ee's probably not a good play, but if we're looking for prop angles, you know, I don't know what Buc-ee's line is yet, but I'm assuming it's going to be playable. We have really defined roles with this backfield, right? You have Buc-ee's kind of the between the 20s grinder. Then you have Sean Tucker, the short yardage guy. And then Rashad White is the change of pace guy. And so I feel pretty confident that if he gets, you know, 15 touches in this game, that should be a pretty productive 15 touches.
We got a 59.5 total right now for Buc-ee on DraftKings. They don't have anything else. So no Rashad White, no Sean Tucker. 59.9 seems like a good number.
Yeah, I agree. I totally. Panthers, I mean, 5 yards a carry. You know, so if Buc-ee's in that 15 to 20 range, he's going to smash that prop.
Right. Well, let's back up here. We talked Baker, not really playing all that well, but certainly myriad options at receiver. My guy, Jalen McMillan, balling out. Mike Evans scores. Ibuka has been a little out of it. Tez Johnson's long gone. Cade Otton, a.k.a. the Fantasy Ottoman, they didn't need the support with all the receivers, so they don't need the Fantasy Ottoman. The one guy, though, who does stand out a little bit is Chris Godwin. I'm always been a huge Godwin guy. He seems to be getting healthier and healthier. Reliable option inside. I would think he could be a little bit of an antidote to Baker's woes, as he was last week.
Yeah, exactly. I think what you've seen since Godwin's come back is a really consistent role. We're talking, five or more targets a game in every game he's been back, and then he's hit 6+ in multiple games as well. So I like the role, but I really like the matchup with the Panthers are strong at outside corner. J.C. Horn's kind of been a shutdown guy, minus some funky penalties, obviously. Baker really just needs to speed it up a little bit. And I think Godwin underneath is a great option for them. The Panthers have given up 7 yards per attempt on throws from 0 to 9 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Kind of a geeky stat, but it's true. The way to beat this pass defense is to hit them underneath coverage. And I think that's where Godwin lives, right? He's a run after catch kind of inside, you know, middle of the field kind of demon. And I think that's going to be the game plan here to get the ball moving.
36.5 for Godwin. That's the number.
Easy.
For all the marbles.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, let's not, nothing's easy out here. What about Rico here? Chuba Hubbard in and out of relevance, but it seems like Rico is kind of back.
Yeah. Rico's role is like his touch volume has stayed consistent. Even when the role looked like percentage wise, they were leaning into Chuba a little bit more. That was more game plan specific. Right. I think it was a Rams game where like they wanted to keep Stafford off the field. So they literally ran the ball 40 times in that game. I think when push comes to shove, though, Rico is the guy still. You got to keep an eye on his health, though. I know he's a little banged up right now. Just make sure he's playing in this game. And I think he's going to, but we just got to make sure. But man, Buccaneers run defense is not what it used to be. They're another case like the Panthers where they started hot and have just completely fallen off a cliff. Last 5 weeks, 4.85 yards per carry allowed. Explosive run rate up around 7%. The success rate over 52%, which is one of the worst numbers in the league. So you can definitely run on this Tampa Bay defense. I kind of think in a game for all the marbles where both quarterbacks have kind of struggled, right? This Panthers offense is averaging less than 20 points a game, and they could make the playoffs. That's disgusting. I do think this is going to come down to a running back game where it's Bucky versus Rico or even Chuba Hubbard a little bit in there.
What about the big Seattle San Fran contest here? Gotta love JSN. See a lot of Renardo Green. The prop is 101.5. Sounds like a radio station, but I'm tuning in. 101.5. I'm liking the over here because you can do multiple years of taxes in the pocket up against San Fran.
Yeah, San Fran's defense is comical at this point. They can't. I mean, I made an argument the other day. They might do better with 11 traffic cones on the field than the guys they have playing right now. So. And then we're down Rashid Shaheed, right? So JSN's literally going to be the guy. I mean, he's the guy anyways, but he's extra the guy this week.
Right.
And they need to win this game. I think Seattle's got to be nervous about having to play a road game in the playoffs. So I think they're going to be all in on, going hard in this game, making sure they get that one seed. So I like JSN. That's not rocket science, though. I think everyone likes JSN. So.
What about the Seattle running backs? You seem to like them both. I did note in my article last week, they're a little bit more man gap. Maybe it's the Charbonnet game. Of course, I didn't have the courage to play a Charbonnet over for obvious reasons. But what do you see there?
Yeah, Charbonnet's role is really leveled out a little bit where I think early in the year he was their pass down 4 minute specialist, the short yardage guy, where now he's actually getting some touches and obvious rundowns. I think that's really promising. I think all but one of his carries the last 2 weeks have been an obvious running situation. So that's kind of what Kenneth Walker was doing earlier in the year. So I think that's really good. The matchup is awesome. Like we just said, the 49ers can't stop anybody, but specifically the way Seattle wants to set up those deep shots to JSN is through play action. The way to do that is to establish that run. Charbonnet looks really good. And we were getting a lot of flack on Charbonnet early in the year because he can't hit explosive runs, but he's climbing up to Kenneth Walker territory. I think his explosive run rate now on the year is over 5%. So you look at all the metrics, they look really good on him.
Let me fast forward because we're running out of time already. You are into Derrick Henry. I remember being into this prop last time out. He got 25 carries, and I believe they won, but he didn't hit. But what do you see here in this one?
Yeah, I mean, December was Derrick Henry's month. It always has been. He had 560 rushing yards in December, 5.98 yards per carry. His missed tackles forced tripled from where it was early in the year. His stuff rate went from 50% to 28%, and his explosive run rate went from 5% to 10% in the month of December. So we're in officially Derrick Henry season, and this is where he shines. And Pittsburgh's been bad against the run all year, so I think you can easily find a good matchup here. I don't know what his prop is, but I'm probably pretty comfortable with it.
And one other, Pat Freiermuth. They do play some man. What's the angle there? You seem to like Pat Freiermuth. I know Washington's hurt too.
Yeah, no Darnell Washington, no DK Metcalf. Freiermuth is literally the only guy. They might not have Calvin Austin either. So this is, Pittsburgh has any shot to move the ball, Freiermuth has to be the guy. Not even necessarily saying I love the matchup, but the volume should be pretty crisp here.
No Derrick Henry prop out just yet, by the way, FYI on that, or else we would have popped that out. But great stuff, as always. Great insight from Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com. Give him a follow on the X machine at BG Whitefield. Enjoy the New Year's with your family, Brett. Happy New Year to you. We'll talk to you down the line, and then we'll take a look at all the totals for Week 18 next on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
think you know sports? Get paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your pick hits, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to Better.app. Download Better today. Use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. A little ahead of myself. We are on tomorrow, which is New Year's Day. Big football games, ton of college football all day, right? All day and night, pretty much. That's what I plan on doing. But from 1 to 2, I'll be right here. We will we are efforting a college football analyst for the show tomorrow to pop out some plays for tomorrow's action. But in this segment, and by the way, in this segment, we're going to pop out a best bet for Week 18. And Week 17, craptastic. It's in the past, though. It's over. We're not going to bring any bad karma our way if we mention that, at least I hope not, we have absolutely crushed these early best bet picks. I'm telling you, I don't even know what we're not something we're tracking, but I think we're like 9-0. 10-0 on the last ones that we've popped out here, including last week, by the way. So I do have one play today in this segment that I'm going to go in on officially. But let's take a look here. We have arranged our Week 18 totals from highest to lowest, and we'll see what the numbers mean. We start with Cowboys-Giants, meaningless game. Highest total on the board, though. Giants are not tanking. They're not going to get the number one pick now. Fernando Mendoza is going to be, we'll be talking the Mendoza line next year on his props. He's going to be a Raider, be the first time in half a century the Raiders have had a young quarterback with legit promise. But it is, I got off on a tangent right there. But anyway, Dallas Giants, number one, it is a good schematic matchup for Dart. Last week's opponent, the Raiders, that's where I get into that rabbit hole, but neither here nor there. Good schematic matchup for Dart. And it's also, I actually like Darius Slayton in this game. I haven't seen a prop number on him yet, but I think that's why, because this should be a back and forth, high scoring affair. Dak is going to probably play well. We talked about Pickens. It's also a really good matchup, believe it or not, for Ferguson, even though the Giants have been stingy against tight ends this year. So start him if you got him in this game. Lions, Bears, probably the same deal. 50.5 is encouraging, as is the 334/5 that Jared Goff put up in this matchup back in week two. And it's actually still a pretty good schematic for Caleb and the receivers, notably DJ Moore, believe it or not. Seahawks 49ers comes in next. Hey, start them if you got them. Good offenses, big game, high stakes, 49.5, good schematic matchup for both quarterbacks, and for most of the receivers in the game. Good schematic matchup. Titans-Jaguars comes in next, 47.5. It's a less than ideal schematic matchup for both passing games. So I think what we're looking at here is, A, Trevor Lawrence has been very steady, really good. And B, Cam Ward has been pretty good. You know, he made a play last week where he was like Superman. It didn't count. He was getting tackled and he threw it like he was like almost parallel to the ground when he threw the damn ball. I was like, wow. He's an interesting guy for next year. So we'll be all right. Not that we're feeling warm and fuzzy about a Titan receiver. Next up, Cardinals Rams, 46.5. So schematic matchups here. This one could come a little flat. Rams certainly, you know, might not have a ton to play for. If Seattle wins, then, you know, they're only going to go from the 5 or the 6 seed. So that could be a little bit of an under situation there, quite frankly. Dolphins-Patriots, 45.5. so-so schematic matchup for Drake May, who got 230/2 passing back in week two. Wasn't a big day. I did see a report. Christian Barmore is also under some sort of legal situation here. But we are on Wednesday, so I don't think they're able to suspend Stephon Diggs or Barmore. I think that that usually, unless they changed it in the last CBA, that usually have to, anything that comes down has to come down by Tuesday. Once you hit Tuesday, it's normally you're good. It's like you've got immunity, if you will. But we'll see what the reports are. I haven't studied the CBA, the last one, but that's always been the case before that in the last CBA. Browns Bengals comes in next, 44.5. It's not a great schematic matchup for Harold Fannin. It's not great for Sanders. So this might be why the number is a little underwhelming, because it could be all Bengals. Panthers Bucks, 43.5. Not incredibly encouraging in a must win. Not an ideal schematic matchup, though, for Baker Mayfield. He was 18-26 for 145 yards with a touch and a pick in this matchup just 2 weeks ago. He had four carries for 49. But solid schematic matchups for most of the receivers in the game, including Tet. So you can see why it's one of the higher totals. Saints Falcons, 43.5. Hey, the only thing that's going to stop Tyler Shuck's run is the conclusion of the season. It's a good schematic matchup for him and for Olave. Ravens Steelers is only at 40.5. I don't really have a ton of insight here. We don't know about Lamar Jackson. It is a little bit of a lower total. Commanders Eagles, 39.5. It was a great schematic matchup, or it is, for Marcus Mariota, but he's not playing. And the Eagles are going to be playing with mostly backups here. That's why we like Tank Bigsby. Colts Texans comes in next, 38.5. Not the best schematic matchup here for CJ Stroud and the receivers, which is probably why it comes in low. Jets and Bills, 38.5. It's a terrible schematic matchup for Cook. I mean, give up on the Jets, other than maybe Breece Hall, and so-so for Josh Allen. So you can understand why it's a little low here. Chargers at Broncos, the total is 37.5. It is a good schematic matchup for Bo Nix, but he only got 153 yards and one touchdown passing in this matchup in late September. Bad schematic matchup for the LA receivers, especially Quentin Johnston. Packers, Vikings, I think this could rise if J.J. McCarthy is announced as a starter along with Malik Willis. It is a great schematic matchup for Malik Willis, and it's okay for Christian Watson. Really good for Jordan Addison as well. Then the lowest total on the board, no big shock. Chiefs, Raiders, 36.5. There was a time, I hate to admit it, where I thought Kenny Pickett could be pretty good. My comp was Matt Hasselbeck. Pretty good, but not an overwhelming physical talent. But man, Kenny stinks, basically. It's been a disaster for Kenny Pickett. So you can understand that. Terrible schematic matchup as well. No Brock Bowers. Well, we're down to the end of the program. Only one thing to do is to pop out a best bet. And I have one for Saturday's game. First, stay tuned to Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 p.m. Eastern on today's show. Kendall Valenzuela has some prop bets for the NFL, and that is Follow the Money, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern, and then VSiN Prime Time with Matt Brown and Mike Somich, 7 p.m. Eastern. Well, for the best bet, we did not confer with Brett Whitefield on this, but we are, in fact, going to go over Chris Godwin, 34.5 minus 110. That is over on BetMGM. Does have the best overall individual matchup against the slot corner. You've got Jackson and Horn on the outside. J.C. Horn, a very, very good player. We do show it as a positive schematic matchup. And he did have five grabs for 30 yards in this matchup just a couple of weeks ago. Now, he was still kind of rounding into form, but the fact that he caught five balls, I think, bodes pretty well. Mr. Reliable, Chris Godwin, I think Baker will be looking for him. I think getting to 35 yards, extremely doable for Chris Godwin. So that is why it is a best bet for week 18. That's a wrap on the program. Happy New Year to everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you mañana, back with some college football insight as well. Until then, we'll catch you mañana for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.